this is what I have in my heart to share today. It's from the Word of God. It's going to be from the 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I remember I spoke this message when we were students, went to Times Square Church, and I had the privilege to share there for a few minutes. And this message, I spoke it there. When I was a student, I came back to the school the third year after my internship. And I remember I was just sitting somewhere over there, maybe the 7th or 8th row. We had to come to chapel. Every day we had chapel. We had to come 15 minutes before, and we had to sit quietly. We're not allowed to talk, and you have to read the Bible or pray or not talk, but do something, right, by yourself. So I was reading the Word of God, and this passage just spoke to me so profound. And I had a friend then, his name was Enrico Williams, and I shared with him, Enrico, look what God has opened up to me. And the thing is, it was not just something that God had opened up to share today. It was something that I was going through at that moment. It was something that I needed to hear that word, and it's something that lifted up my spirit. And this passage, it's really, really practical in my life was, and I believe it will be also for your life. And hearing last night, we had students, our second years, we had over our house, we had a great time. And hearing some testimonies they were sharing, and it brought my mind and my memories how I was when I had breaks from the school. And so many stories how God intervene and help them through, how some failures happen in life, how some people didn't want to come back, how some struggles were in our lives, and almost the same stories you hear from a person to person. And for some reason, I began to think about my life, and I remembered how I struggled with things, and it came into my mind what I went through, and ultimately, God reminded me of His grace and His love and His mercy that brought me to this point. And as Apostle Paul says, I am who I am by the grace of God. Not on my own, not like what I can bring or I can show off. It's I am who I am by the grace of God. And I believe that maybe you're here today and this message, I couldn't shake it off for about a month or a month and a half. I knew I was going to speak, and for some reason this was in my heart. And I couldn't shake it off. And I believe maybe there are some people here today, and we welcome also our neighbors here from the Teen Challenge. And maybe it's a word. Let's welcome them, yes. And maybe it's a word that also will encourage you, I believe, and it's a reason why you're here today. Amen. The title of the message that I want to share, it's Promise You Won't Kill Me. And sometimes I remember when I told my friend Nick here that, listen, this is the title of the message in Times Square. And he says, where'd you get that one from? You know what I mean? Usually you take those titles that go with the Word of God and they're profound. But this one is kind of like, Promise You Won't Kill Me. Who's after you? You know? But a lot of times our past is after us. We as Christians, when we come to Christ and we give our hearts and our lives to Jesus Christ and we invite Him as a personal Savior, we are forgiven and we're washed, and a lot of times we walk in freedom, we walk in victory. But a lot of times we hit in our walk with Christ, it's not an issue of sin, it's not an issue anymore of struggling with things, but an issue of fear and our past that looks straight up in our face. And this is when the cry comes into our life and say, God, I'm not struggling with things anymore. I'm not doing this anymore. But this past is haunting me. And instead of this past to be a testimony for my future, it cripples me and I can't go forward. And this story in the 1 Samuel, if we can read 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 11 through 15. And I want to give a few words of a background of this story. It's when David was running from Saul and he was hiding for his life. And he went to a different camp, to the camp of Philistines. And there was a moment when the Philistines were going to come against the Israelites. They were going to have a war. And David was part of that group that was going to come and fight against the chosen people of God. And in that process, when they were going there, some of the lords of the Philistines, they looked and said, listen, we have one of the guys who's going to fight with us against their own people. So he said, unless they turn against us, we're going to send them back home. So the lords, the authority of that time, they sent David and his mighty men to go back home. And the Bible says when he approached his city, he saw smoke. And he saw that his city was on fire. And the Bible says that they began to weep. They fell on their faces. They began to weep and cry until the moment came when they didn't have no more tears. And the Bible says that David went and inquired of the Lord. He began to pray. He fell on the face. On his face, and he began to pray, ask for God to for God to give him direction. Should he go and pursue the enemy? Should he go and pursue and take whatever what the enemy has stolen from them? Should he go and take it back? And at that time, the Philistine came, the Amorites came, they stole everything what they had. They took the wives, the children, the families, and David and his mighty men, they were alone. And it came a moment when the word of the Lord says, go, because I will give you back everything what the enemy has stolen. So the Bible says in verse 11, on the journey that they went, they found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David. And they gave him bread and he ate, and they gave him water to drink. And they gave him a piece of cake with a fig and a cluster of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drink water for 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, to whom do you belong? And where are you from? He said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me behind because I fell sick 3 days ago. We had made a raid against the Egypt of the Chaldees and against what which belonged to Judah, and against the Negeb, the Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. Verse 15, and David said to him, will you take me down to this band? And he said, swear to me by God, or promise me that you won't kill me, or deliver me into the hands of a master, and I will take you down to this band, to this place. It's a unique story. It says that this Egyptian was a young man, and he was doing the will of the enemy. He was and one of the things when David asks, he says, who are you? Where are you from? He says, I'm an Egyptian. I'm a young man, and I'm doing something that only the masters told me to do, and I'm a part of that crowd that came to destroy your city. And one of the things here that it amazes me, that this young man once was used by the enemy, and it came a moment that even the enemy didn't need him. It came a moment when the enemy even left him to die because he only came to kill and destroy and steal. And at this moment when this young man was alone, he acknowledges that, listen, I'm an Egyptian. And one of the things that reminds me of Egypt, it's slavery. One of the things that brings me back to Egypt, it's something that you're doing only what you're told to do, and you don't have the freedom of the willpower. You don't have the freedom to walk and do your own thing and to build a family and to do what God has called you to do. And he acknowledges, I'm an Egyptian. I come from a place where there was a history behind, a history of slavery, a history of beating, a history of being under the taskmasters, doing some other one's will except mine. And the second thing here it says, and where are you from and to whom you belong? See, sometimes we can say that I'm from this country or this country, and a lot of times when we are getting deeper, we say, but to whom you belong? And you can say, well, I belong to this family or that family. And this young man opens up to David, and he shares with David the things that he's been going through. But before then, I want to share a few things that are really important in this story. Before he began to talk, this was the enemy of David. And they said they caught this man, they brought him, they found him, and they brought him to David. And the first instinct, what we can think that David had the right to do, is to kill him. Is to grab him by the shirt or grab him by the head and maybe punch him or do something with him. You stole my wife. You know, nothing comes personal than somebody touching your family. You know, they can come against the people, they can come against our neighbors, and we're cool. But when it comes something personal and somebody does something to our family, something rises up in our hearts, as men especially. And David, he had all the right to bring revenge. He had all the right to bring something that would be fair for him in that moment, because he was part of something that destroyed the city and David's family. But the Bible says that he didn't do that. And the Bible says that this man didn't have strength to walk and to go with the enemy anymore. And it tells me, the Bible doesn't say this, but I'm thinking that this man maybe was laying down on the dust. He was maybe just with a face down and thinking, I'm gonna die soon, knowing that I'm not needed to no one, even to the one that I was being slave to. I'm left alone here. And in a moment comes These big genetic guys that are picking him up and bringing him to David. And David and his guys, they're looking at him. And they said, bring some bread and bring some water. And it's such a symbol in the word of God that I don't think David was shooting basketball hoops with bread and he says, open your mouth and I'm just going to throw some bread in your mouth. I believe maybe that David came and he kneeled down and he picked up his head. And I believe these guys were looking and seeing that this life that is so precious is about to pass on and pass down. And we need this man to revive and we need this man to walk again. We need this man to talk. And maybe every piece of bread that they share. See, this bread was for David's and for his guys. And they began to share that bread with this guy, with the enemy. There's a saying that says, keep your friends close and your enemy closer. And David saw this enemy and he brought him closer. Not for the wrong reasons, but for the right reasons. And maybe piece by piece, they were giving him this bread. And there was such anticipation of hope that, you know, a life is going to come again. And they took this water that was meant for them. And they began to pour this water, maybe washing him and give him water to drink. And as soon as they did that, the Bible said that his spirit revived. Say revived. His spirit revived. You know, we have a spirit in us that sometimes we can walk as Christians. We can smile. We can put a facial that everything is good in our life. But our spirit can be damaged. We can crumble. We can fall. Our spirit can be somewhere in the dust, in a sense, so to speak. And we feel like we're alone. But when we begin to eat this bread and drink this water, the spirit revives again. And when we look in the Word of God, the Bible says, many times as a symbol that the bread is the word of God. It's the living word of God. When we partake from this word of God, we will live. Praise the Lord. And the water, it's also a symbol of the Holy Spirit that comes and seals the word and also is a witness to the word that we're just partaking. And maybe you feel like this young Egyptian that you're laying down and yes, you're walking, yes, you're smiling, but your spirit is down and you feel like nobody understands you. You feel like nobody will understand you. And you feel like you're about to give up on everything that you just went through. But it comes a moment when I would like to encourage you to partake from the word of God. Allow the Holy Spirit to come and seal this work. And something again, the strength will come when there was no longer strength. And you will be able to stand again and walk. And you know what's amazing in the story? To the end of the story, it was this man who once was dying, leading the David and his mighty men to the camp where everything was. It's amazing. Sometimes you might think that your life is insignificant. Sometimes you might think that your past is horrible and God can't use it and you're walking with your head down. But I want to tell you, sometimes God takes this and turns it for good. And God can take these things that you went through and turn it for good and use leaders that maybe never went through the things that you went through. But it's a reason why you went through. And you will be the ones that will say, follow me. I wanna show you where that is. Follow me. But before that, I named this part a confession part. And David asks him, and he says, where did they go? Where are they? And this is when this young Egyptian cries out to David and says, if I tell you, you have to promise me or swear by God that you will not kill me. See, sometimes when we're going through things, we having our failures, our sins in our life, the past and everything that we're going through, and we want to share with somebody. We want to come and share this word maybe with some leaders or maybe with some friends. But there is a cry in our hearts that, listen, if I share, will I look down upon? Will I be looked down upon? Will I be pushed away? Will I be cast out? Every time I'll walk by them, what were they going to think about me? And this was the fear, ultimately, the fear of this man. David, are you here just to get the information from me? And then to point fingers at me and then to kick me around and maybe to stab me, to leave me here. And then I'll tell you everything and then you're going to go and do your own thing. It was fear in his heart. He wanted to live. And it came a moment. The Bible doesn't say if David promised him or not, but we see that by the results, he was the leader of this group now that led him to this town. And maybe there is a cry in your heart that your past is haunting you. Maybe you went to Najaf and you burned the city. Maybe you went and stole things. Maybe you did a lot of things in your life that only you and I, personally, what we went through, we can know. But it comes a moment when we get tired, and it's not so longer the things that we are struggling with, but the fear of the past that we face in our life. And we feel like we're not worthy. We cry out for help. We cry out for life that we want to live. And ultimately, we want to hear the words, "You have to promise me, I won't be cast out." You know, there are some churches that if you come and you say, "Listen, I have this sin or this problem, or I fell into this sin and adultery," or whatever the case may be, a lot of churches will punish you. And we're talking about openly here. And they will say, "Well, you're undisciplined, you're excommunicated, you're going to sit in the back, you're not allowed to shake hands, you're not allowed to talk with people." And a lot of times we think that this is the good thing that can be for that person. But a lot of times I find that that kills the person. That the very thing that he came and asked help for. And the alternative sometimes that we as Christians, the body of Jesus Christ, are giving to those people, ultimately kills them. Kills the spirit. The spirit is not reviving in them again, but it's dying even more. So we have to be people that will come to this kind of people. We have to be a generation that will embrace those that are falling and far away from God. And say, "Listen, I don't know many things what to tell you. But one thing I know, I'll kneel down before you. I'll kneel down before God. I'll pray to God so God can give you strength. And I'll give you bread, the word of God. And I'll allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Because everything what I did according to the word of God, God is backing that up." Amen. But when Jesus was walking in the earth and he was doing, he said, "I only did what I heard from my Father." And Father, God the Father, he was there to back up the work that Jesus did because Jesus was obedient to his Father. Jesus didn't do more than was asked from him, and he didn't do less. He was just walking in obedience. And a lot of times in our own life, if we do that, if we walk in obedience and we embrace these people, we give them the bread and we give them the water and we pray for them and we shed tears for them and we fight for them, their spirit will revive. And ultimately, we will be blessed because these people will be a blessing in our life. These people will bring us to other people that are like him in bondages. And these people are going to connect us with others that need help. Amen. Amen. One of the other stories that I want to share from the Word of God, it is written in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verses 1 through 13. And we're just going to run through this scripture. I don't have a whole lot of time. But we have to understand that we come before God, and we're not accepted because of our own good works. Or we're not accepted because we were open with God, and all of a sudden, you know, that makes a way in the presence of God. We have to understand that our way to come to the presence of God is because of the covenant that was between the Father and the Son. And by us believing in Jesus Christ, we partake from that covenant. And everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us as well. And this story, it's a unique story. It's about David when he became king, a few chapters down. And he had all the authority. He was a big shot guy. He did what he wanted. He had authority, his word. He was no longer fleeing from the enemy. David had the power. And it came a moment when David said, "You know what? I remember I had a friend by name Jonathan. And because of the covenant and the friendship that I had with him, I owe him." And then he asked, "Is there anybody else who's left from that generation or from their families that I can show him kindness and mercy?" And his people says, "Well, there is one by the name of Mephibosheth." And David says, "Bring him to me." And the Bible says that in chapter 9, you guys can read the whole chapter, that he was lame in his both feet. And he came to David, and can you imagine the fear maybe that he had? "My family is gone. My father is gone. My grandfather is gone. Everybody are gone. And I'm lame. And now David is calling me. What is he going to do to me? Is he going to punish me as well?" I'm a man that minding my own business and doing my own thing. And now the king is calling me. And the Bible says when he came to David, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and paid homage, or he cried. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold, I am your servant. And David said to him, Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. And I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your father. And you shall eat at my table always. And he paid homage and said, What is it, your servant, that you should show regard or mercy for a dead dog such as I? And he's coming to David, and David is saying, Listen, you came here, and I'm not here to punish you. I'm not here to bring your past to remembrance, but I'm here to reward you. And the only thing why I'm going to bless and reward you and return land to you is because of my covenant that I have with your father. Not because you deserved it. Not because you worked for it, because he was lame. Remember, he couldn't even do anything. But I'm going to give you all these things because of my friendship, my connection, and my covenant that I had with your father. Isn't it amazing? And the Bible says that he fell on his face and he began to cry again. He says, Listen, who am I that you have looked upon me? I'm like a dog. I don't deserve this, in other words. This is a conversion moment when happens in our life. When our past is on our face and we think that there is no more hope for us. We think that there is no more future for us. And it comes the Holy Spirit and speaks to us, Listen, I can turn your past into a powerful testimony ahead. This can change others. Amen. And the Bible says that David didn't just say, Listen, I'm just going to invite you in my presence. But he said, From now on, you're going to be rewarded. And you're going to sit with me at the table. Can you imagine right now if I know some presidents, for example, with powerful people in the world that will come and say, Listen, from now on, I'll just bless you. And you're going to sit with me at the table all the days of your life. Wouldn't that be cool? You'd be like, Forget that. I'm leaving. Some of you are probably going to be like, I'm leaving Summit too. But of course, I'm not talking about politics and things that feels as good. Because it gives pleasure to the flesh. But you can lose the spirit. But I'm talking a little bit deeper here. As our Father, it's once we were lost and far away. And our Father comes and says, You know what? From now on, you're going to partake from this table that I prepare in the wilderness. You're going to come and you don't have to worry where you're going to eat. I'll prepare everything for you. Amen? I'll put everything on the table. All what you have to do, just come and sit at this table and partake. And the Bible says later on that he and his family came and they were sitting with David all the days of their lives. And in the end, this is how this chapter ends. Now he was lame in both of his feet. I want to pay attention for a second to that. Can you imagine if he was at the table and you entered to the house? Would you see his lameness? Yes or no? No. I remember there is a lot of cultural difference. We had students yesterday over, as I said, and one of the first things that I told them before I said, Hi, take your shoes off. Because, of course, we live in American culture and we walk with shoes in the house. Where I grew up, you take your shoes off at the door because somebody has to clean afterwards. So a lot of times you have to be careful, especially us in our culture, we have to be careful so our socks are clean, no holes. Now it's a trend, you know, the more holes are in the pants, the more cooler you are. But back in the day, it was embarrassment. It was something that you don't do. You have to look neat. And sometimes if you would go and visit your friends or your family members and you had holes in your socks, you would feel so uncomfortable, it's not even funny. You would probably step and you don't know what to do to make sure you talk with them so they don't look down to see your holes. Because that was embarrassing. And then when you would sit on a couch, usually we had these carpets that they're not always there. You can take them and clean them and take them out and bring them back in the house. And you would try to find when you sit on the couch to put your feet under that carpet and then you look like a boss. You're like, I just hide it, whatever, what was embarrassing. And it's a truth to that. That sometimes when we come And we're sitting at the table with Jesus Christ. All our holes, all our lameness, all our sin, and all our faults are covered by the grace of God. This tablecloth, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, is covering us. And no longer we see the lameness of this guy. But David looks to him in his eyes. And he looks in his face and he says, you belong here. You were far away. You lost everything. But you belong here. And as long as this guy was at the table, he was safe. As long as this guy was sitting with David at the table, you wouldn't even notice that there was a problem. But as soon as he left this table, you can know, well, he's lame. Well, he has this issue or this issue. In our life, in our Christian walk that we're walking, as long as we find ourselves at the cross, as long as we find ourselves, no matter how many times we fail, and no matter how many times we go away, we have to come back. And when we find ourselves at the cross, the righteousness of Jesus Christ covers us. And no longer we're slaves to sin, but I am a child of God. Amen? Amen. This is the power of the gospel. This is what Jesus Christ came and did. He came to deliver us. And for those things that we did in the past, and the fear that sometimes tries to cripple us, not to have power over our lives. Praise the Lord. And I want to share in my conclusion a passage that really spoke to me. And before I share this passage, I remember when I was growing up. And of course we did stupid things. We went to our neighbors, we stole some chickens. You know, because we had chickens that they were counted. For example, 50 chickens, we had big family. So if one chicken was missing, guess what? The parents would tell you, go in the village and find the chicken. But if the dog would come, they would die. And then the dogs, wild dogs would come and would rip the chicken apart. And we would get in trouble. So one time, me and my brother, we couldn't find one chicken. We were short. And we went to the neighbors and we stole one chicken. And next day, the neighbor comes and just yells, you know, your son stole the chicken. My mom was like, no, you know what I mean? She didn't know nothing about it. But deep inside of us, we were afraid. There was such a fear. We were like, my goodness, we get some whipping afterwards if they find out what we did. So it came a moment that we ran ahead into the little house where the chickens were, and we threw the chickens out of their window, and everything is good. But there was something in our hearts that always, always we walked. Man, we just did something that was not right, and now we live in fear. See, our parents didn't even know anything about it, but in us there was fear. Can you imagine you come to the table and you sit and everybody's having a good time at the table talking and laughing and you're like, oh, I'm next. They're going to expose me, you know. But sometimes when you just say, listen, this is what I did. And I'm sorry and forgive me. And the alternative is so much better. He says, I forgive you. I remember when I was a kid and growing up, hating 18s, 19s, I was a brat. And I'll be open. I made my mom cry a lot. Because I walked in disobedience a lot. I thought that I know everything. And so many times I put nice clothes on, a nice car, but deep inside it was just emptiness. And I was doing things I was not supposed to. I was struggling with things. I was playing with fire, playing with sin. And I would come home and I would find my mom in the kitchen on her knees while the food is boiling and she would cry for us. And we would come slowly into the door and you hear they're fasting and praying for their kids. We're a big family, 13 kids, 12 boys, one girl. So it took a long time to pray for each other. And my mom likes to pray everybody by name. Please bless Paul. And that goes for 20 minutes. And then next one. So it was a long prayer. And that kind of start speaking to my heart and to my life. And the prayers of my parents changed me. They fought for us. They fought for us hard. But a lot of times when we were sitting at the table and you know that something is wrong and you would hurt your parents, and I'm talking about me, and I would come and say, Mom, forgive me. And she with tears in her eyes, she would say, Pavel, I already forgave you. It's almost like me asking forgiveness was not even necessary because the relationship was there already. He said, I forgave you already. But you know, me asking for forgiveness, it was not doing any good for her He was doing much more for me. And I want us to understand that when we come before God and we say, God, forgive me. It's not that he has a checklist that he keeps every wrong and bad about you. Yes, we're not to flirt with sin. Yes, we're not to go on and just do whatever what we want in our lives. But when we do something in our life, when we come and say, God, I humble myself before you. Please forgive me. Show your mercy upon me. It's not like God's forgiveness depends on that word that you just said. It does something to our hearts. It does something with us that we humble and we understand that we're in need of God's grace and God's mercy. But so many Christians today live in fear. They sit at the table and they live in fear. You might ask forgiveness and they still live in fear. And a lot of times we think that, you know what? God is going to punish me for such a thing I did in my life. God is going to come against me and he's going to bring a heavy hand against me. And instead of us enjoying our moment with Jesus Christ at the table, when his grace and mercy covers us, we're too busy thinking about our past that cripples us to move forward. And it's a passage in the Word of God, Genesis chapter 50, verses 15 to 21. It says, when Joseph and his brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. So they sent a messenger to Joseph saying, your father gave this commandment before he died, saying, Joseph, please forgive the transgressions of your brothers and their sin, because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Joseph wept when they spoke this. His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, behold, we are your servants. But Joseph said to them, do not fear, for am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear, I will provide for you and your little ones. Thus he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. It's a powerful message that spoke to me volume. So many times we read about the story and we're like, wow, it's so amazing. Joseph was in the slavery. The brother sold him. And now they forgave each other and they came to Egypt. And now they have food and they've been taken care of. But reading the story tells me that his brothers, they were living in fear. Even though Joseph, as a powerful man of that time, invited them to live with him. Invited them to sit at the table with the king. At that time, it was a big deal to sit at the table with Joseph. And yet, his brothers are sitting at the table and always thinking, you know what? I think he's thinking something negative about me right now. Oh, the other guy is probably like, I think he's thinking, who sold him? No, I think he's thinking that who threw him in that pit? He's going to punish us. He's going to kill us. Our father's going to die and man, he's going to bring revenge against us. And instead of enjoying the moment and believing when Joseph said in the beginning, I forgive you. When they were coming for food and Joseph embraced them and said, you're my brothers. I love you. I forgive you. Instead of embracing the gift of forgiveness, they embraced the gift of the past. And they were living with that in their hearts, in their lives. And that crippled them to live freely in that family. And it came a moment when they even said, you know what, we're just going to come and say that this is what our father said. Maybe their father said that or not, I don't know. But they said, well, this is what we're going to tell Joseph. Sometimes when we come before God, we can even kind of make things good, you know, that listen, maybe this is how it is. And we make a story to feel ourselves better, you know, to almost earn our entrance before the King of Kings. But at this moment, when David heard this, his heart was grieved and he began to weep. And I believe he didn't begin to weep because he remembered what he went through. But I think he began to weep because his brothers never understood the power of forgiveness. He began to understand that all these years, all this life, they were in my presence. We were partaking from this table. And they always were afraid that I'm going to punish them. I'm going to bring revenge against them. And I'm going to bring their lives to the end. What a tragic place to be in. And David began to be sorrowful. He said, listen, I forgave you. And he said, there is a reason why I'm here. There is a reason why things happen. There is a reason why you meant it for evil. But God turned it for good. Because your families are all blessed. Your families are here now. They have food and I'm going to take care of them. And the little ones. All of your generation, I'm going to take care of them. There is a reason why I went through that. There is a reason why we go through things in our own life. There is a reason why God allows things to happen in our life. And I'm not talking about people that are flirting with sin, flirting with fire, and then they try to be cool. I'm not talking about those kind of people. I'm talking about people that are open before God. I'm talking about people that love the Lord and they're walking with the Lord and things come against them and they fall and they slip and they cry out for help. And I want to encourage you today. When God says, I forgive you, He forgives you. And when He invites you to come and sit with Him at the table, He covers you. His grace and His mercy, His love, His kindness covers you. And it's so painful to His heart when we don't believe that. And we always remember what we did. And we say, when is the day going to come that the punishment will be for me? But He says, I took it for you on the cross. I died for you on the cross. And I just want to, in my few minutes that are left, if I can have the worship team come up, we're going to pray soon. I just want to bring you back to the first story that I shared. And the title was, Promise You Won't Kill Me. And I remember when I read the story and I knew that I'm going to share this at Times Square Church. And I knew something is missing. And I remember laying in my dorm and crying, weeping. Say, God, what is... Give me something in the end. Who can promise me if I'm open? Who can promise me that? And I remember, I don't know how long the struggle went for. But it came a moment when God clearly spoke to me. Said, Pavel, maybe nobody can promise you that. Maybe no one can promise you that. But I can promise you that. Because my son was killed for you so you can live. That's powerful. Jesus Christ came and died on a cross. He gave His own life and took our sin, our punishment, so we can live and not just live, but live forever. And let not the past, cripple your future. But let your past be the key of the testimony that God can do through your life for the future. So you can reach others. So you can speak into others' life. And sometimes I'm thinking about my life and I went through failures. I flirted with sin. I went through many things in my own life. But I was a prideful man. If there was somebody that was struggling with something, I would look down upon them. Can't you just be normal? Can't you just turn around and be different? And for some reason, when I went through things in my life and failures, I began to look at these people differently. I began to have mercy on them. I began to understand them and I began to come in my prayer closet and start weeping for them and crying out, God help them, deliver them. Let them know that there's somebody in this world that understands them. When they have this cry in their own hearts, that the fear, when the fear is coming for life, and ultimately this young man, he was in fear that David is going to kill him. And this was the cry, if I open up before you, if I open up what I'm going through, would you turn your hand of help, not of wrath? And this is ultimately the cry of the people that are dealing with their past. Not necessarily with sin right now, not necessarily with things right now. But sometimes the past can rob us of the goodness and the future that God has for us. And it's because we allow this life to be in our life. That God, when He says He forgives me, He doesn't mean it altogether. He still remembers a little bit. Not all, but a little bit. But the Bible says, perfect love. What? One more time. Perfect love. Perfect love cast out fear. And we are to understand the love of Jesus Christ, that He came and died for me, in my place, for me. And because of that love, I invite you, Jesus Christ, to come and cast down the fear. I don't have to be afraid anymore of my past. I don't have to be afraid anymore that you're going to punish me. I don't have to be afraid of anything anymore. So I can enjoy my time that I have with you at the table. Because your love and your righteousness, your kindness is covering me. And I am perfect in your sight because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand today. I'm not going to drag this along or beg you. But if the word of God spoke to you and this is your heart, that your past is facing straight into your eyes, and you're afraid that it's going to come a day sooner or later and you're going to reap the consequences. Yes, sometimes situations are like that, that there are consequences. And as Sister Catherine, I remember, she was saying that sometimes, you know, when people fall into adultery, the consequences might be a child is born. So there are situations in our life that if we break the law, the consequences might be with the law. But I'm talking about the heart of God towards us as people. Him, His will and His character towards us. When He says, I forgive you. When He says that my Son was on the cross and was killed for you so you can live forever. That's the truth. And we have to accept that. Amen? So if you're dealing with something from the past that it's not giving you peace and you're afraid that that might come and haunt you, let it go. And this can be a key of testimony that God can do in your life. And you will be leading others like David's to the camps where others are in bondage to free them. God can use your life no matter what you went through if you trust and believe in Jesus Christ. So this is you, come up front. And I'll ask Brother Roger if he can come and he will lead us in prayer, please. And if it's you, come up front.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today. Thank you for bringing your heart today to us. Thank you for helping us by the help of the Holy Spirit to understand that you're very kind and merciful and gracious, and that you're not overwhelming. You're full of power, but yet you restrain yourself. And you continue to pour out your love and mercy towards your people. I thank you for that, Father, today. Father, I feel I myself need to be at this altar, O God, and I am by faith. Lord Jesus, I just pray and help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to choose to believe the Word of God, to believe what the Word says about your character. Lord, you said that you're not a man that you should lie. You said, oh God, that what you've spoken from your mouth, you will not alter, you will not change. Lord, you said from your word that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, I pray for the Holy Spirit to be given to each individual person at the point of their need, to direct them, to lead them to the path that you have for them, O God, the path of victory, that faith would increase in our hearts to trust you, O God. I pray for a revelation of your word to come, to break every tie, every lie, every web of hell that's wrapped itself around the mind, that says that we're finished. It's over. There's no more forward progress in Christ. You're stuck. But I pray, Father, and I ask you today in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you would send your sword and put it in our hand and quicken us by the power of the Holy Spirit to fight and to believe in your character, to believe in your love for us, that you love us, and that you're not going to let us go. Father, that's the greatest promise that you've given to every person you ever created, that you'd never leave nor forsake those who want you. Thank you. We can lose everything in this world. But Father, you made a promise. You said you'd not alter the thing that went out of your mouth, Father. And we choose to believe, oh God, that you're not a man, that you're going to lie to us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for your promises to us. Your children, you're not going to forsake us. Mighty God, your goodness will continue to follow after us. We know your goodness even leads us to repentance, but your goodness also leads us in the path of righteousness, in the path of victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, mighty God, that you chose this day, that you chose this vessel to bring forth your word, to bring your people into victory, to bring your people into a greater understanding, O God, of your character. O God, that you are great and that you love your people, that your plan is good. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this today and we give you glory. We give you glory. And Father, I pray, O God, that you would even do exceedingly and abundantly above all that was ever said or thought of so far in this service, that you would go beyond it, Father, as we leave this place, O God, as each individual goes their way. We ask you by the power of the Holy Spirit that you continue to speak into those areas. Holy Spirit, that you continue to challenge us to believe the Word of God, to trust in the character of God, hallelujah, and to fight where we have to fight and not to give up. And that you would give us and grant us the measure of humility that is needed, O God. Father, I ask you for that today in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And I thank you for this. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name.
Praise God. Now we're going to sing a song. And sometimes when we ask God for forgiveness or we ask God to remove some things and help us, we might feel emotional and something like fell down and it's great. But sometimes we don't feel anything. And we have to choose to believe. That not by emotions I'm not going to be moved, but by faith. Lord, this is your truth and I'm going to believe it. I receive your truth and help me to move forward. Amen? So now we're going to sing a song, all of us together. You are stronger. The sin of this world, the bondages of this world, they cannot keep you. They cannot hold me because you are stronger. Amen? So lift our voices, our hands and declare that God is stronger in our life. And all things are possible to those who believe in Him. Amen. Let's lift our voices and just praise God because He is stronger. He is mighty. He has overcome. Praise the Lord. Lord, we thank you today. We praise your name because you are good. We bow down before you, O Lord. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, that we can come and sit with you at the table. And you don't look at our faults, but you look in our eyes and you're telling us how much you love us, O God. We thank you, Lord, that the grip of sin does have power over our lives, but we have been made free, free in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that we have peace with you, O God. We thank you, Jesus, that there is nothing we can hide from your face because you know everything already. Lord, we come open before you and we are acknowledging that sometimes we're going through struggles. Sometimes we're going in our hearts, we're thinking maybe we're not understood or we're far away from you, O God. But you see everything, O God, and your mercy and your hand is there. And we just want to thank you for that, O God, that you're not pushing us away, but you're receiving us just as we are. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we can have hope and we can have a future. The past cannot cripple us, but the past can do a testimony, great testimony in our future because we are yours, O God. And whatever the enemy meant for evil, for to destruction in our life, you have come to build our life and for good, O God. Help us to receive that. Help us to think that way, O God, that whatever happened, you were there, O Lord. You never left us or forsaken us. And we are yours. We're grateful for who you are. You are stronger in our lives. And we praise you. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.